Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My brothers and sisters, I think it's safe to say that most all of us have our pet peeves. You know what a pet peeve is? Something that really gets under your skin and irritates you. Perhaps more than it irritates most other people because it's your pet peeve. How many people here have a pet peeve? I'm not alone. You want to know what my pet peeve is? True confessions. It's this. When I'm out driving, I'll say, for example, in heavy traffic on Route 20, and I see some poor soul trying to get into traffic, pulling up from a parking lot or something, and there's a big line of traffic behind me, but I don't care because I'm going to be the good guy. And I mean, I get a stick shift, so, you know, I get a downshift and all this stuff. But I'll do it because I want to be a nice guy. And the guy pulls out, doesn't even look at me. Oh, that gets me. Now, maybe it's my imagination. We can talk about this afterwards, but when I got my license over 40 years ago, whoa, it seemed to me that any time you did that, everybody would give you a little wave, right? I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. All I want is one of these. You had a big routine like that. All I'm asking is for just a little acknowledgement. But I would say, and this is probably generous, that you might today get away from about half the people, if you're lucky. It's a hit or miss proposition, and every time I don't get one, and the guy drives ahead of me, I say, I'm never doing that again. But of course, we're called to be generous and considerate, not because of the reward, right? But it really helps when you do get some gratitude and appreciation. So what does this say about our society today? I think it means there's a growing lack of gratitude and an attitude of entitlement. In other words, fewer and fewer people think, wow, that person showed me some consideration and I am grateful. In fact, I am so grateful that I want to express my gratitude. Thank you. Instead, more and more people probably think, it's about time someone let me go. I am a busy person with places to go and things to do. In fact, I'm too busy and important and preoccupied to even show this guy that I appreciate him. Maybe I'm being judgmental. Maybe it's accurate. Maybe it's a more common attitude these days, but today's gospel reading shows us once again that there's nothing new under the sun, including an attitude of ingratitude. If I estimate that only about half the people give me a wave in traffic, it's still a lot better than what Jesus gets in today's gospel reading, huh? Wow, his percentages are 90% ingratitude and 10% gratitude. Only one guy, one leper, comes back. And he's a Samaritan. He's a foreigner, not even one of Jesus' own countrymen, and probably the least likely to do it. Now, as soon as we judge the lepers, the other nine that Jesus cured, and feel indignant for his sake, we need to ask ourselves, and I'm talking to myself first and foremost, whether we are more often like the grateful Samaritan who remembers to thank Jesus, or like the nine others who don't. If I'm honest, I must admit, while I may be among the first to run to Jesus in prayer to ask him for help with some problem, I can be really good at that. I can be among the last to thank him when he answers my prayers. And in the meantime, I may be among the first to complain that he's not listening when he doesn't answer fast enough or in the way that I think he should. Human nature. It's important for several reasons that if you're like me, we change and adopt more and more an attitude of gratitude instead of an attitude of entitlement. Which, remember, is I'm owed this. First, it's downright rude way to treat Jesus, to whom we owe everything, and he owes us nothing. We owe our very lives to Jesus and our opportunity for eternal life with him because he died on the cross and rose for us. I think about a conversation that I heard between one of my cousins and my Uncle Pat. Shouldn't be using names, geez. My cousin, his son, was probably a teenager, you know, in those ungrateful teenage years. In a pinch, my uncle must have borrowed some money from my cousin. And my cousin, I remember we were over there for something, a holiday, and my uncle was preoccupied. He's, you know, it was a barbecue, he's making dinner, and my cousin kept saying, "Dad, you owe me money." Then later, "Dad, you owe me money." Three or four times, "Oh, Dad, you owe me money." My uncle finally turned around and snapped at him and said, "Bill, you owe me your life." It's kind of like when we have this attitude of entitlement with Jesus. It's like, "Lord, you know, I'm trying to be a good guy. You owe me this." Jesus can just point to the cross and say, "Ken, you owe me your life." In so many ways we do. Second reason we got to adopt an attitude of gratitude more and more is because it shows a lack of trust in Jesus, who hears and answers our prayers always, but in his time and in his way. He is God who sees the big picture, which is impossible for us to see. He is always working all things to the best possible good, the greatest good being the salvation of our souls. And this means that he may ask us to carry some hardship longer than we'd like. But Jesus always made it clear the cost of discipleship. If you would be my disciple, you must pick up your cross every day and follow me. He's never pulled any punches. One thing I have tried to do to grow in an attitude of gratitude is to actually make a list of my prayer intentions. And when I read them over in the morning and I realize that he's answered one or several, I keep it there for a while to remember to thank him for a time. And I also try to thank him for hearing and answering my prayers, even if he has not yet shown me exactly how he is doing it. He is always at work. And that's why I love the 54-day rosary novenas that I've introduced. For an end to the pandemic or the war in Ukraine or whatever we've been praying for. Because it's 6 9-day novenas, 54 days. The first 3 novenas, the first 27 days, we pray in petition for whatever it is, whatever the intention. And then, regardless of whether or not we know or can perceive that God is hearing and answering, we immediately, the second 27 days, 3 novenas, pray in gratitude for prayers heard and answered. That is the trust we must show to Jesus. Finally, when we grow in gratitude toward the Lord, we grow in holiness. We become less bitter, impatient, and self-centered, and more joyful, forbearing, and generous. These are signs of a grateful heart which grows to make more room for the grace and love which Jesus wants to pour into us from his sacred heart. Not to keep it to ourselves, but to let it flow through us and on to all we meet. And yes, Ken, that includes the guy in traffic who won't give me a wave. Everybody, God love you.